I have a car, like a 2-year-old car or something like that, and every once in a while I'll be driving around and listen to the radio, listening to music, and my phone will ring on the radio. Like, the music will stop, and my phone will start to ring. And I don't know what to do. Apparently, there's something that you would do where you could, like, talk on your phone when you're driving your car around or something like that. But I just don't know what to do once it starts ringing. So my car has this ability to play my phone over the radio and me to talk into the air in my car and have a conversation while I'm driving around. It has that ability, but I've never used it. You know why? I don't know how to do it, right? My car also has a, on the key, you can push a button and it locks the car from a mile away or something like that. But my car's not locked today, you know why? I didn't push the button, right? And God's word does say we're more than conquerors, but if you don't walk on the word, if you don't walk, if you don't carry out the word, you're not going to see that in your life. You're not going to conquer things in your life. Go to James 1. You have to walk the word. You have to do what the word says if you want to see or have manifested in your life that you are more than a conqueror. If you're going to beat things in your life, you know, the word says we're more than conquerors. That means there's going to be things in your life that you're going to have to conquer, right? Things are going to come against you. And you're going to have to conquer them. And the way to conquer them is to apply the word, to do what the word says. In James 1, verse 21, it says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to what? It'll keep you whole. It's able. It has the ability to do that, to keep you whole. But be you," what's that word? "Do it." And a doer is a performer. If the word says to do something, it's not enough to agree with what it says. You have to perform it. You have to act on what it says to see the results. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And the word deceiving means you're cheating yourself. To cheat yourselves by false reckoning or false reasoning. Sitting in this meeting today will not guarantee that you live a life of conquering things. That you conquer things. Applying what you hear this week, applying what you hear in this meeting, that will ensure that you conquer whatever comes against you. You understand that? You're going to get very blessed this week hearing God's word, because God's word has the ability to build you up and make you whole. But if you don't apply what you hear next week, are you going to conquer things that come up? No. So don't just be a hearer, be a performer. Actually carry out what the word says. And when you literally carry out what God's word says, you see results. It's guaranteed. It was in the manifestations. Does everybody in here have the ability to speak in tongues and interpret? Yes. Well, does that mean everybody's going to do it? No, you have to walk out. You have to do what God's word says, and then you'll see the results. Verse 22, "But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." He's like a guy who sees himself in the mirror. By the end of this week, you're going to think, "I can do this. My life's going to be great. Whatever comes up, I'm going to conky it. I'm going to conk it. I'm going to kill it." But if you don't actually apply what you learn, by next week, you're going to be, "I'm a loser. I went bald 50 years ago." So you got to walk on it, see? It's like a guy who beholds his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway what? Forgetteth what manner of man he was. And that's what this world does. It just beats people down. It just concentrates on your flesh. You know, all the fingers are pointed to your weakness and everything like that. And you forget that you're more than a conqueror and that you can do all these things. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," and this is talking about God's word. And God calls his word the perfect law of liberty. Perfect is a complete wanting nothing. And law is a law or a rule. And liberty is freedom to go where one will. Freedom to go where one will. Release from slavery, imprisonment, captivity, or any other form of control. When you walk on God's word, you're not controlled. You're not being controlled. Your emotions aren't controlling you. The adversary is not controlling you. Other people aren't controlling you. You're free. You're free. Let me give you an example in Colossians 3 of carrying out God's word or walking on God's word. Colossians 3, verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. I love that concept of forgiveness, don't you? Like, so cool, right? But until you forgive that person, you're under their control. Whatever that person did to you is still controlling you until, guess what? You forgive them. And when you actually carry out the word, in this case, by forgiving someone, saying, that's over. I'm not going to go back to that. I'm not going to chew on that. I forgive that person, whatever. You're still being controlled. Or some situation that keeps eating at you that you need to forgive or forget about. That's literally carrying out the word. And when you forgive somebody, are they controlling you anymore? They might still be a-holes, like they say some places. I wouldn't say that here, but they might be. But are they controlling your emotions? Controlling your life? Making your life sour or bitter or anything like that? So you literally carry out the word. You do what God's word says, and nothing controls you. You're totally free. You can go where you want. And that's what God's word does for people. Look at 2 Timothy 3. If you don't forgive people by the time you're my age, in your 40s, you'll be bitter. Second Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And profitable means helping, useful. It gives you an advantage. God's word gives you an advantage in this life. It's God's word that shows you how to walk as a conqueror, how to conquer those things that come against you. Have you ever looked at the self-help books they have out these days? Well, God's word is better than any self-help book. For example, it's better than a self-help book called There Is Nothing Wrong With You, Going Beyond Self-Hate. That's a self-help book. God's word is better than that. God's word is better than To Have or To Be. That's a self-help book. Oh, and it's the difference between having and being. Here's a self-help book. You Are a Badass. How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life. Well, God's word is better than You Are a Badass. And it's better than the sequel, You Are a Badass at Making Money. And it's better than the self-help book, Daring Greatly, How the Courage to Be Vulnerable Transforms the Way We Live, Love, and Parent. And God's word is better than the self-help book, Girl, Wash Your Face. You can look these up. You can get them at Amazon. I'm not advertising for Amazon. And God's word is better than Life's Lessons Learned from Winnie the Pooh. I'm just saying, God's word is profitable. It gives you the advantage in life. And we need to understand God's word, and we need to carry it out, to literally carry it out. And I'm going to go over two things that God's word says to do that if you carry them out, you'll be more than a conqueror in your life in manifestation. And the first one is in Romans 12. And these are things that we just need to do if we're going to see the results in our life. In Romans 12, verse 12. Verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in what?
Prayer.
One thing God's word says to do is to pray. And continuing instant means to be strong or firm towards something. In other words, prayer is something you do a lot. And God's word says many times, be someone who prays. Can everybody here pray?
Yes.
You know when you get great results in your life? When you actually carry out God's word. And that would be to be strong in what? Praying. It means to be strong or firm towards something, to be steadfastly attentive to. And that means that one thing that you do a lot in your life is you what? Pray. Look at Ephesians 6. Pray. Literally carry that out. Like, with a lot of your time, spend a lot of your time praying. Talking to God. Asking God to take care of things. Asking God to take care of other people. Attentive to your prayer life. Making sure that you pray a lot. Do you agree with that? Well, the next step would be to guess what? Do it. Because if you just agree and don't pray a lot, you're cheating yourself. You're fooling yourself. And one of the ways to take care of so many situations is to pray. Even before they happen, to pray. Just to be in the habit of to be someone who prays about stuff. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, it says, praying how often? And always is in all seasons, at every opportunity. So if you're going to literally carry out the word, you're going to pray when? All the time, in all seasons, at every opportunity. At every opportunity, pray. And that means like if I'm going to teach, if I know I'm going to teach, before I get nervous about it, what do? Pray. Maybe I could ask God what to teach. Maybe I could ask God to make sure no one comes. That would be good. No one shows up that morning or something like that. But do we pray for our food? We're supposed to, are we thankful for our food? Yeah. At every chance we get, we give it to God. We pray. We pray about it. And that's something God's word says to do. And to carry that out makes a huge difference in you conquering the situations that come up in your life. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's how we watch out for each other, when we keep it up, when we keep praying for each other. You want to make sure that the people you love are okay? What can you do? Pray. But don't just agree with me. Pray. Take time to pray. We all know that prayer works, but God seems to think you should pray quite a lot. At every season, in every opportunity. Look at 1 Thessalonians, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians. It's not really hard, is it? All the things of God are very simple. But if you miss these very simple, basic things, it doesn't matter, like Jerry says, how much you know or whether people think you're really great or not. Remember that poem, The Man in the Mirror? It goes, the man in the mirror, the man in the mirror, oh, 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 the man in the mirror. You ever hear that poem? The man in the mirror, oh, 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 the man in the mirror. You never heard that poem?
No.
No, I just wrote it. It's pretty good. 1 Thessalonians 5. I like that. Oh, 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 that man in the mirror. But what's the point of that poem? Like, it's what you do when you're by yourself, right? It's what you do. Many times it's what you do when no one's around that makes the big difference in your life. You know, you might think that I'm the greatest guy in the world, which I know one person here does. Well, no. Well, someone used to. But it's what I do when no one's around that makes a difference. It doesn't matter what people think of me. Do I pray? Do I have a relationship with God? Do I give everything to God? That's what makes the difference in real life, in the events of your life, and whether you conquer them or not. Do you pray? Are you a person in the habit of giving it to God? Or asking God to take care of your parents, asking God to take care of your friends, asking God to take care of your work, asking God to take care of your shopping, or take away the habit of shopping. I don't know what to pray there, but he won't do that, but that's another story. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, good retemporary verse. Pray what? So what do you think God means by that?
Always.
Unceasingly, without intermission. Without intermission. So what does God mean when he talks about prayer? Pray unceasingly. Be a someone who prays all the time. And that makes such a difference in a person's life. Do they pray when no one's around? Do they pray for the things that they're going to do in their life? Do they pray for situations that are coming up? Do they pray for their friends? Do they pray for their loved ones? Do they pray for the people they're so worried about and concerned about? Do they pray? Do they talk to God? Do they have a relationship with God? Do they talk things over with God? And no one knows if you do that or not, right? But it makes a huge difference. Much more of a difference than impressing people or being able to talk or, you know, dressing well. Pray. And if you're having trouble in your life, be someone who prays a lot, unceasingly, without intermission. Look at Mark 1. If you're getting bored, pray the teaching ends. Well, it worked. Now, Mark 1. Now, you know yourself, do you pray? Don't answer. Maybe that's something you need to do. Maybe that's what's going to make the difference. Not just agreeing, actually putting in the time. God thinks it's important. In Mark 1, verse 35, talking about Jesus Christ, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he wrote out his schedule for the day and figured out his teachings and made appointments with apostles and sick people. What did he do? Jesus Christ spent a lot of time praying. And you've heard it before. It must have been necessary, even for a guy with perfect blood, the only begotten Son of God. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out into a solitary place. He got by himself. No one saw him doing it. And he what? He prayed. He prayed. Look at Mark 6. And like I said, if you're having trouble in your life, try praying a lot. Mark 6. Verse 44. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. So it's after he fed all these people. I always wonder why just one kid had food at this event. But. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, where he sent away the people. So he's done with his day. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to what? Yeah, at the end of his day, what did he do? He prayed. Do you ever think of doing that? Getting up, and before you do anything, praying. You know kind of what your day is going to be like. You don't know everything's going to happen, but praying for stuff, and just talking to God, you know, talking things over. Tell God you love him. Tell him about, you know, what you're doing and everything like that. And then maybe at the end of the day, pray. That might really work, because God seems to think that it's very, very important for people who want to be more than conquerors and walk on this earth, to pray. Start your day looking up to God, talking things over, thinking about this and asking him to take care of it. End your day talking to God. You know, that's what Jesus Christ did. He was pretty successful. Look at Philippians 4. And the word works when you literally carry it out. And he says to pray without ceasing, God does. In Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, be careful for nothing, just don't think about it, and it'll go away. That's like that verse in Isaiah. God will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is spaced. Is that what it says? Be anxious for nothing. So if you feel anxious, it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer is just speaking to God, talking to God. So if you notice you're worried, what does the word say to do? Pray. It doesn't say to think about it some more or tell your friend or even be anxious. It says, if you notice you're anxious, if you notice you're kind of worried about something, to literally carry out God's word, what would you do? You would just pray. You would talk to God. You would speak to God. Supplication is specific request. So instead of being anxious, you just ask him something, like maybe you're anxious about work. So you would say, please take care of the situation at work, instead of worrying about it and thinking about it all day. Or you're anxious about a relative or a friend, instead of worrying about it and thinking about all the things that could happen, you're just in this habit of immediately talking to who about it? God. That's to carry out what God's word says. Be careful for nothing. And how many people are anxious most of the day? I know a lot of them. Be anxious for nothing. And why is that? But anyway, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thanksgiving is thankfulness or gratitude. So it's you talk to God, you make specific requests, together with gratitude, thankfulness, appreciation for favors received. And you know what? That works. That works in this life. Me looking good to you doesn't work for me in my real life that I live kind of in my head, you know. But praying, giving things to God, as soon as I start to feel that anxiety or some worry about something, that works. That works. To literally carry out. Verse 6, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it's better than understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Once again, don't be anxious. What does God say? Pray. And the habit there is to start talking to God immediately. Start talking it over with God. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you. How about that? When it comes to the other believers, what does it say? We pray what? Isn't that amazing? So what should we be doing? Praying always for people. Praying always for people. Worrying always for people. Analyzing always for people. Figuring out the past, always for people. Meeting the parents, always for people. Giving them money. Always for people. What does it say? How about that? Just you're always praying for people. Always praying for people. Wherefore also, we pray always for you. We always are praying for you. 1 Thessalonians 5. Kind of a cool, near the end of 1 Thessalonians, verse 25. Look at that. Another good retemory. Brethren, what? Ask people to pray for you, like Jerry said. And I do ask, by the way. I've asked 3 people here to pray for me. No. But just ask people to pray for you. Isn't that cool? Have people praying for you all the time. Brethren, pray for us. Isn't that cool? Just pray for me. Pray for us. Praying always for people. And you have people pray for you. That makes a bigger difference than being super sharp, having the right shoes, being able to talk on your feet, you know, whatever people think does it, praying. Literally praying a lot, praying always. Just be in the habit of giving things to God. 1 Corinthians 14. And we do believe in God, right? So then we should be talking to him quite a bit, giving him stuff quite a bit. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 15, what is it then? That's a good way to start. What is it then? That might be a good way to greet people. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. So we pray with the Spirit, we speak in tongues, and we pray with our understanding. We're just always praying, either speaking in tongues or talking things over with God or making specific requests. We can do both, right? And when you speak in tongues, look at 1 Corinthians 14. Jerry mentioned this. Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. You want to get built up spiritually? What can you do to get built up spiritually? It's so hard, isn't it? You can speak in tongues or do 7 miracles on the way to Rome. No. You know what builds you up spiritually? It's so weird. Guess what? Speaking in tongues. Isn't that amazing? You want to be strong spiritually? What does the word say? Now, we might say, learn everything and know everyone. But what does God say? speak in tongues. So you want to be strong spiritually? Speak in tongues a lot. Is that so hard? But no one sees you do it, that's for sure. It's all done by yourself. I mean, you might be in a room or something like that, but it's something that you would do on your own. But God says that's what builds you up spiritually, to speak in tongues. Speak in tongues a lot. Isn't that just so simple? But that's how God works. That's what he's like. So if you want to be strong spiritually, sharp, you know, on like even when you bring forth the worship attestations, they're so much better if you've been speaking in tongues a lot. You all know that. Just speak in tongues as much as you possibly can. Look at Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So if you're concerned about somebody, what can you do? And you don't know what to pray for, but is it getting prayed for? Now think about how effective that is, to speak in tongues for somebody. It's amazing. So one thing the word says to do is to pray a lot. Pray without ceasing. And here's the second one, Colossians 3. This is a tough one too, verse 16. Let the word of Christ visit you twice a year. It's the word concerning Christ. Let the word concerning Christ take a vacation at your house in the summer. Is that what it says? Let the word concerning Christ dwell in you how?
Richly.
Let it dwell in you richly. That's another thing God's word it says. Let the word dwell in you how? Just have the word in your heart more than anything else. And this is something you do pretty much by yourself too. Now you're going to notice that you're really blessed this week because you're listening to a lot of God's word, and that's what God's word does. But basically, in your life, you're going to have to feed yourself and go out of the way to have the word dwell in you richly. A literal would be of this would be, let the word concerning Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom. And look at this. Here's a description of a believer where the word dwells richly in. Singing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with what? Just love God, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, because the word dwells in you richly. And the word dwell means to settle down in a fixed dwelling, to dwell steadily in a place. You know, we have a lot of thoughts running through our head, but we want the word to be the thing that we think the most. The thoughts that we think the most is God's word, to the point where that's what lives in your mind. That's what you think about the most. Is God's word. Look at Matthew 23. Now, is that one hard? No, it takes some effort, but it's not some complicated thing. You have to get a doctor's degree. But it makes such a difference to have the word be what you think the most. Not what people do, not about yourself, not about your past, not about material things and how to get them. God's word. God's word. Matthew 23. This is a funny one. Matthew 23:25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. All right. This is a scary one. For you make clean the what?
Outside.
All right. Now everybody sees the outside, but who sees the inside? Well, God does. God looks at the heart, and you know what's going on too. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first what? Cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Take care of your insides. And you know what takes care of your insides? God's word. That's what cleanses the inside. You might want to take a look at that word cleanse sometime. It's God's word in there richly that cleanses the inside. And so an effort to have the word dwell in there to just stay in there makes a huge difference in our lives. Look at Psalm 1. What if you never ate? Well, that would be good for some of us, wouldn't it? But some people, there's people who are very concerned about eating the right thing, aren't they? Well, what about being very concerned about getting the word? Eating the word as much as possible, nibbling on it all the time. What would be wrong with just like trying to, everybody's got this stuff on their phone, just looking at it all the time. Would that be harmful? Richly, dwell in there richly, richly. So that's what the main thing that we think is what God's word says. In Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, unhappy and horrible is the man that walketh not in the counsel. Happy. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate every so often. What's that say? Well, what do you think it means? All the time. And, you know, meditate means to talk to yourself. So basically, instead of telling yourself that people suck, or, you know, that you want this, or Star Wars is great, I wonder what's going to happen to Luke Solo or Han Johnson or whatever the next time. What about the Wookiees? Are they going to get their own movie or not? I think they will. If you're that concerned, what can you do? Pray about it. I don't know. Tell yourself the word. What do you say to yourself? What are you saying to yourself when you talk to yourself? What are you saying? Well, God's word says, tell yourself the word. And apparently, it's going to make your life really nice. Because verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree. Now just picture this. A tree planted by the rivers of water, a beautiful tree right by the river, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, has a lot of fruit. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what happens when you simply have the word in your heart more than anything else, richly, richly. And that means the effort to just keep on going back, reading this, reading that, nibbling on it, eating it. No, the one in Job. Look at Job 23. Job 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. How about that? So what does that mean? To esteem God's word more necessary than what? How many times do you eat a day? I'm going to say, if you're a hobbit, 12 times. Okay? How many times should you eat the word a day? All day. And that makes a huge, huge difference. Don't agree with me. Try it. It makes the difference. Praying all the time, having the word dwell in you richly all the time. I can't make you do that. I don't know if I can motivate you to do that, except for maybe a couple of days. But that's what makes the huge difference in a believer's life. That's when these horrible situations come up, you conquer them. You conky them. First of all, you can handle it here. You gird up the loins of your mind. You can handle it here. And you believe God because your mind is full of God's word, all the things that God has done, all the things that God will do. And you see him take care of it over and over and over again. Having the word of God in there richly. More important than eating. It's more important for your heart to have the word in there richly than eating the proper foods all the time. You understand that? We should be just as concerned of having the word in there all the time, eating it richly. Look at Psalm 42. Here's an example of just a part of God's word that is just so helpful to have it in there. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks. Now, picture that. The heart is a deer. What's the deer doing? It's panting. And what's it panting for?
Water.
Think about it. God has these figures in here so you will think about it to help make an impression in your mind. As a deer that's just dying for water, panting after water, so panteth my soul after what? And after thee, God. And your soul needs God. Your heart, your insides need God. And many times when things are so rough and you're like someone dying of thirst in your heart and in your mind, you know what you need? You need God. You need to go to God. You need to fill your heart up with the things of God, what he's all about, what he's done, what he's made you, what he will do, what he has done for people. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for what? My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. I went to the advance. I hung out afterwards. I ate the food. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. I was there with them. They were all happy. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? What's wrong? Isn't that cool? Isn't that a cool thing to read? I've memorized this sometimes because I have a hard time with this. So, a hard time with being happy around people. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? And then what's it say? What a great way to think. Why am I cast down? But then what does it say? I just like to think about that. Hope thou in God. Look forward to God doing something. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I will praise God. God will come through for me. We need to be reminded of things like this all the time. All the time. Because it never ends from the world. It never ends. And it's pointed towards you. Towards you not believing and having confidence in God. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, of the Hermonites from the hill Mizor. I'm going to remember something cool that you did. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. You know, things are really hard, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. I know God will be kind to me. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God, the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? He felt like he is forgotten. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? What's it say? You know what we're doing? We're just letting the word get in our mind. Thinking about, that's what I mean by thinking the word. Letting the word be in there richly. That type of thinking. More than any other kind of thinking. Just how cool God is. What he'll do, you know. Even when things are hard for you. Hope in God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. We let the word of God dwell in us richly. Daniel 11. And we pray all the time. Those things make the huge difference. Not learning everything there is to know, not speaking all the biblical languages, those are great. And those really bless people. But they don't make the difference. The difference is, do you pray all the time? Does the word dwell in you richly? And you can be, you know, the most important person or have the highest position or have the most recognition and be miserable and scared and anxious all the time because the word isn't in there and you don't pray. You know? Not anyone here, but someone I met. I read about them. Daniel 11. Where's Daniel? Daniel 11, verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. That's how I want to end this. Okay? So please remember that. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. All right? But the people that do know their God shall what? And do exploits. And strong means firm. They'll be able to take stuff. They'll be strong, mentally strong. They'll be able to handle stuff. And do means accomplish things. Accomplish things. But the people that do know their God shall be strong. They'll be able to take stuff. And you know, people are very weak mentally a lot of times. They can't take pressure. They just can't take any kind of pressure. And where are you going to go to get out of pressure? Drugs? The moon? No. Have the word dwell in you richly and pray a lot. And they do stuff. They accomplish something. And then in John 8, this is where we'll end. John 8. Verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. They believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, and continue once again means to remain or to abide, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God's word makes you free, not controlled by anything. As you continue in it, you remain in it, you abide in it, you let it abide in you. You try it to be the thing that you think about the most is God's word. It makes you free. All right? So, Father, thank you for giving us all these wonderful things that help us in our life. Thank you that we can be free people, not afraid of anything, not anxious about anything, not controlled by anything. And thank you that you do answer our prayers and you do want to have a great relationship with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.